forward. Okay, continuing in our study in the book of Hebrews. We are in the study on the power of God, which we call the power rhombus. We have dunamis, kratos, iskus, and energeimon. Outside we have bia, which is worldly power, and within we have exousia, which rests within these other powers. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your name to study your word, that we might learn how to apply it in our daily lives. We pray that we might do all things tonight and throughout our lives to the glory of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we finished dunamis, which is potential or capable power, capabilities, as opposed to these other words. And we started looking at the closely related words to dunamis. We looked at the adverb dunatos, which means strongly, that it does not occur in the New Testament. And we looked at a verb dunamao, which would be word number two. Dunamao. Dunamis. Which was the bulk of the study. And this is a verb which means to empower. And then we looked at dunastes, in English this would be dunamao, like that. Dunastes would be, a long E there. And this is a noun meaning sovereign or ruler. Dunastes. And we looked at dunatos, and that's where we ended up. Dunatos. That's another noun. And we looked first at dunatos applied to God. Now it's the basic meaning of dunatos. It's an adjective. It's sometimes used in the substantive sense, like the mighty one. It usually is translated as mighty. And sometimes substantively, the mighty one. And we looked at the occurrence applied to God as the mighty one, and that was in Luke 1:49. And then number two under that. Number one would be the mighty one, substantive use of God. Number two would be of other people. And we looked at a usage where it is translated as influential men. In other words, people that are capable of doing something about a given situation, able to do something. And that occurrence was in Acts 25:5. And I think that is as far as we got. Now, we looked at 2 Corinthians 12:10. And we'll start with that one. You'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12:10. mind that the root of our word has to do with capabilities, abilities, potential, power. In this sense, the ability to do miracles. In the passage on spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, concerning spiritual things or gifts in this context, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware. And then in verse 4, there are a variety of gifts, but all the same Holy Spirit, and a variety of ministries, and they are all the same Lord. And there are a variety of effects, which is related to our word that we're going to go to in our geo, effectiveness, but the same God who works all things in all. In verse 10, we have our occurrence. Another, these being the various spiritual gifts accorded to the church, members of the body, to another member of the body of Christ, the effecting of miracles. And the effecting there is our word, dunatos. Just going to pull the Greek up here real quick. Now, to the effecting of miracles, and then our term there is energemata, and we're going to hopefully see this word. I am in 1 Corinthians. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Energemata dunameon. And this, we're going to return to tonight, is the word energema. It's our second word of power, energema, long E. And this is our word related to dunamis, dunatos it comes from. It's a genitive, so it looks a little different. So, we're going to find that the root of energeo means to be actively effective. So it is used in context of application of our power words. So this would be the effective application. We can start putting these words together now that we know a couple of them. Of the ability to do miracles. Or, as we have studied and learned, the ability to do acts of divine power. Which is, after all, what miracles are. It's a little wordy way to say it, but it tells you a little more than doing miracles. Right? So, once again, we saw in Acts 25:5, it just meant influential men. Same word. People that were able to do something about the situation at hand. You know, take the disciples to people that are able to do something about this situation. In other words, to judge them. They had been accused of certain criminal acts. Take them to judges that can carry out the law or make a decision. And in this sense, who are able to do acts of divine power, miracles. We have one more occurrence in 13:9. Let me see if it's... and that is 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, still used of people. 2 Corinthians 13:9. See if I got that right. Nope. That's also 1 Corinthians. Passage on love. 1 Corinthians 13:9. So, we're still in the passage on spiritual gifts, but now we're talking about the superiority of love over these, perhaps in the eyes of the world, flashier gifts. Love is supreme over all things in the Christian way of life. If I speak with the tongue, verse 1 of chapter 13, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, I'm nothing but a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. But if I have the gift of prophecy, or I know all mysteries and all knowledge, or if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, and I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give my possessions to feed the poor, I'm still nothing if I don't have love. And we have the long, great description of love. Love is patient, kind, not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant, doesn't act unseemingly, does not seek its own, is not self-centered, self-interested, is not provoked, and doesn't hold a grudge, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never fails. Prophecy, on the other hand, will be done away. Tongues, they will cease. Knowledge will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial shall be done away with. So, I've still not got this passage right. Well, we're going to move on. We're not going to spend time trying to find it. The contrast to the effective nature of divine power is fleshly power. And if we look at 1 Corinthians 1:26, we see the absolute contradiction to effective, active capabilities with the incapability of the flesh. Verse 18, the word of the cross is to those who are perishing, the world, foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And that's dunamis. Verse 26, consider your calling, brothers, that there were not many wise according to the flesh. As we were talking about this morning, this is our old nature, our old sin nature, constantly in conflict with walking in the light. Not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen those foolish things of the world system, cosmos, to shame the wise. This is wise according to the world, human wisdom. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And that's our word, iskos. So, not many mighty, and we could, in fact, translate not any mighty. That is our word, dunatos. Because the flesh is absolutely ineffective, absolutely incapable. And in all these words, we're going to see the immediate contrast to the effectiveness of divine power, which rests within us as a possession as a result of being in Christ, to the ineffectiveness, the mindless violence of Bia, the ineffective lack, complete lack of capabilities in dunamis. And when we look at energeia, we're going to see the ineffective. Energeia is effective activity. You know, it's in Galatians 5 we looked at this morning. The contrast is between effective fruit and ineffective human good. Everything belonging to the cosmic system is ineffective. Everything belonging to the divine power which rests within us due to our salvation is effective because God is completely effective. We have, that was under 2, where it applies, dunamis is to empowered people or capable of being empowered. There is one case where it is said of things, number 3, of things. So 1 was of God, 2 is of people, and 3 is of things. And this passage is 2 Corinthians 2, 10:4. Very similar to our passage, men of influence, men able to do something in a given situation, capable of doing something in a given situation. This is the weapons of our warfare, which we briefly discussed last week. You know, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the complete canon of God, the local assembly, our pastor teacher, faith, hope, and love, and endurance. The gifts of God, which are the weapons of our warfare. 10:4, they are not of the flesh. They are not of the old man that we discussed this morning, or our old nature, but of the new creature. And they are divinely powerful, and that is our word dunamis, infinitely capable for the destruction of the cosmic fortresses, destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, because that is the strategic plan of Satan and the cosmic forces, is to produce ignorance. As we had discussed before, if you have positive volition and faith, and you don't know, you're ignorant of what it is you're supposed to do, you're still ineffective. It takes all three things. So Satan's strategic plan is to keep us ignorant, or to deceive us with the spirit of error, to keep us from being effective. Raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience or unfaithfulness whenever your faithfulness is complete. So, this divinely powerful is the infinite, belonging to the infinite capabilities of omnipotence of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it is infinitely effective. And it is this description here to all the gifts of God to fight the angelic conflict. So, number 4, is to be in a position to be able to do something. To be in a position to be able to do something. And this, it's the reality that dunamis stands behind all the promises of God. The promises of God are all infinitely capable of standing with us and allowing us to perform God's will in our daily life. We start with Luke 14:31. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Great sermon. Beginning with verse 25. Now great multitudes were going along with him, and he turned and he said to him, said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, reject the world, cosmic system and everyone and everything in it. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? And that's our word, is able to complete it, potential. Do you have the funds to do the construction? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, is not able to finish, and all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, he started, he couldn't finish it. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another in battle, won't first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough, and that's dunatos, whether he has the potential ability, is powerful enough with 10,000 to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000. Remember, we talked about what is the world definition of dunamis, and the world definition of dunamis rests in numbers and things, enough money, enough soldiers, enough human resources to get the job done. In this case, powerful enough, able to do, in a position to be able to do something in a battle or in a construction project, as we saw in verse 29. Peter used this on the opening of the church to the Gentiles in Acts 11:17. Verse 1 of chapter 11, now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. A very difficult thing for them to adjust to, that the church was open to the Gentiles, which is why Peter was given the task of doing it. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him. So they had the reliance, Peter relays the circumstances, the vision that he had. Verse 9, a voice from heaven answered a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. So he finishes giving the story of the vision. And he says in verse 16, I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if therefore God gave to them the same gifts as us also, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? That's our word, dunatos, in the substance. One mighty enough, capable of standing in God's way. Rhetorical question. Of course, no one could stand in God's way. But the implication was that Peter is telling his audience, which is the elders of the Church of Jerusalem, which was entirely Jewish at that time, who are we to stand in God's way? We are not capable of that. It's not within our abilities. So this capability, and here this substantive use that we saw, remember we saw this applied to God as the mighty one, and we can think the capable one, the infinitely capable one, as Peter has used it here. Who am I? Am I one capable? Am I the capable one of standing in God's way? No, because God is the completely capable one. We see this in Romans 4:21, that this capability is based in the infinitely capable promises of God. Romans 4:21. How many hymns have the phrase resting on the promises of God? Well, this is where it comes from. Verse 16 of chapter 4. Actually, verse 15, the law is completely ineffective. But where there is no law, there is no violation. There's no missing of the mark. There's no sin. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all of the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but to also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, the spiritual father of us all. So, faith by grace is the promise to all, the universal promise. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the sight of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, infinitely capable, the author of all creation. In hope against hope, he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. But Abraham's part in this miracle was simply faith, accepting the gift. And without becoming weak in faith, and we talked about this, learning to rely on God, that we are nothing without God, we have to become made weak, that we might learn to rely on God, just as Abraham did. He contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being completely convicted, fully assured that what God had promised, he was also infinitely capable of performing. So the power of God, the infinite capabilities of God, rest behind the promises of God. And that from that comes the absolute conviction. You know, we talked about this morning, we have spirit and not law, and we have faith and not sight. How do we do this? This is how we do this. We know we are not ignorant. We are not deceived by a spirit of error. We know that God is infinitely capable of taking care of whatever we rest at his feet. So that's how Abraham, because he had to believe in a miracle. You know, he was incapable, according to the worldly standards and everything that he knew about reproducing infinitely, he was incapable of reproducing. But he was fully convicted. He was absolutely sure. Completely, even though he couldn't see it, you know, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to rely on things that we are incapable of seeing. But through this faith in the infinite capability of God to fulfill his promises, he was able to see it as if it was in front of his eyes. Rely on it like a rock his feet were standing on. And that is the full conviction. The complete conviction that what he had promised, he was also able, capable of performing. And that's two of our words. That's dunamis, this word here, dunatos, and then it's energeia, what we're going to see, to carry out. Would flip over to Romans 11:23. In the passage on the purpose of Israel's rejection, verse 11, I say then, did they not stumble so as to fall? Did they? May it never come to pass. But by their transgression, salvation has come from Israel to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression be riches for the world and their failure be riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I'm speaking to you who are Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Drop down to verse 19. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Does the church profit by perhaps broken promises to Israel? No. No. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. But don't get puffed up, don't get arrogant, don't get conceited. Respect, fear the Lord, revere God, the plan of God. For if God did not spare His natural branches, neither will He spare you. Behold then, the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. So this is yet another promise of God that rests in the infinite capabilities of Dunatos. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Promises of God, absolutely effective. Do not rely on anything, any kind of human activity except faith. To flip over two more chapters to chapter 13. Chapter 14. Doubtful things context, the law of love. 14:1, accept the one who is weak in faith, not for passing judgment on his opinions. One man has faith that he can eat anything, but he who is weak is a vegetarian. Let not him who eats anything regard with contempt he who does not eat. Let him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or fails, and stand he will, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Here again, promise of God, resting on the infinite capabilities of God and the absolute faithfulness of God. Flip over to 2 Corinthians 9:8. Verse 6, now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is also able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything. There again, the same thing. The promises of God that you will have everything you need to live the Christian way of life according to the will of God, according to the plan of God for your life. The promise that you'll have everything you need for that, rests in the infinite capabilities of God. God is able to make all grace abound to you, but always having all sufficiency in everything. You may have an abundance for every good deed. When you see that dunatos word, God is able, think infinitely capable because it rests in the omnipotence of God. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:12, which we did look at last week briefly. We'll just skim it. Verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, that's dunamis, who has saved us, who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, that's energē, ergon, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord Jesus, of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was an appointed preacher and apostle and teacher, which is also what has been granted to Timothy. For this reason I also suffer these things. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I have convinced, there again, it begins with faith, which is just acceptance when it comes to knowledge. Acceptance. Faith, conviction, so you can rest in the knowledge that it exists just like the floor under your feet. Faith, conviction, infinite ability. He is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words. So right after that is the exhortation to gather knowledge, to be effective in the use of these gifts of preacher, apostle, teacher. I have entrusted all these things to the infinitely capable God the Father. It's also applied to Jesus in a similar fashion. Luke 24:19. And they said to them, in a context of our Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling the prophecies, verse 18, one of them, Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And he said to them, our Lord Jesus Christ, what things? And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and in the sight of God and all the people. So in this passage we have, mighty in deed and word is dunatos in ergo, which is related to the word energeo that we're going to look at in a minute, and word. So the infinite capabilities of our Lord Jesus Christ rest in two things. Overt activity, as we see in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, we have ergon and we have karpos, they're the same thing. When it comes to divine good, production, ergos, work, is equal to karpos, fruit. If you think about it, this is not something we do. It's something we allow God to do through us. So as a tree bearing fruit, that's work. It's divine good production. So God, our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, God manifest on earth, is mighty in two things. work, ergos, karpos, and logos, the word, the divine word of God. So we have number five, which is a phrase that occurs, if it is possible. Or, if possible. And you have the corresponding negative, if it is not possible, or if it is, or if not possible, which occurs in a number of contexts. We're just going to look at one of them, I think. Acts 2:24, Matthew 24:4, Matthew 24:24. Romans 12:18, Matthew 19:26, Acts 20:16, and we'll look at Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So in this sense, from dunamis capability or potential, this is potential situation or a potential act. If it's possible, if this context is capable of existing, and that is our word, if dunatos. If possible, so far as it depends on you, and it doesn't always, does it? Be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And this is a common phrase in the New Testament, occurs in these passages. If possible, or if it is possible, or as far as it rests on you, as far as you are capable of acting in the situation, maybe the context depends on forces outside you. This is what you are to do. In this case, be at peace with all men. And this is, like we think of the conflict between God and state. We are to obey the state in all cases except where the state commands us to disobey the word of God. So if it is possible, be at peace with all men. And we have one more, which we're not going to look up. Number six, to be in the realm of possibility. Very similar to this other one. And that is Romans 9:22. So, that concludes dunamis and its cognates. So we don't have time to go very far into our next word, but I would like to at least just give a brief overview. So we had first, bia, and then we saw that this was cosmic exercise of power, wanton and mindless. We had dunamis and its friends. And we saw that that was had to do with ability, potential, capabilities. We have third, energeia. And And often in the New Testament, you will see it translated as working. When you see the term works or the work, that is a very closely related word, ton ergon, the work. Energē. This is the same in prefix as you would see in empower, to imbue something or imbue and do something with power. That's energē. Energēia. When we see that word, we can think a manifestation of power or simply activity of power. But it's not just any activity. In every case, it's effective activity. It's never used of ineffective activity. We have contacts running around doing busy work in contexts of mental attitude, sins of the text, etc. We have lots of ineffective activity, like via, mindless, wanton application of power. That's never energeia. Energeia is always effective activity. In every case. So, in the study of energeia, you have two nouns, an adjective, and a verb, I believe. The first one, energeia, as we just looked at, energeia is effective activity. That's a noun. We have then a verb, energeo. That is to be effectively active. As you might guess, Christian way of life passages are full of this term, to be effectively active. We have another noun, energeima, very closely related to energeia. Energeima. E-N-E-R-G, long E-M-A. And this is practically, this is a particular act of effective activity. Or a deed of effective activity. This is the more, energeia is the more general term, working, the working which he works, which we see many times in the New Testament. Energeima is a particular act or deed, but it's also a noun. And we have energeis, which is the adjective. Your gaze. Which means to be effectively active. Hebrews 4:12. For living. First word in that passage is living. Zone. For living is the word of God. And energeis, actively effective. And the rest of that passage describes what it means to be actively effective. Sharper, more accurate than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder. The rest of that is a description of energeis, what it means to be actively effective. So those are our major terms. Four of them, A, B, C, and D. So our word energeima is Roman numeral 3. The first one of those is energeia, A. The definition, to be at work, operate, produce, ordinary definition. To be actively effective. And two major categories under that are positive forces at work and the other major category, which we will not get to tonight, is negative forces at work. These are the world forces at work, the flesh, the world of flesh and the devil. Negative forces at work. So under positive forces at work, the definition is the power of the plan of God. The epitome, or the example, the power of the plan of God. And that is Ephesians 1:11. That's as far as we're going to get. Every passage in the New Testament that is the power of God working, actively manifest, carrying out the plan of God, is this word energeion. When we see in the Christian way of life, I'm sorry? Yeah. When we see the power of God at work within us, within the apostles, within Paul and Peter opening the church to the Gentiles and the Jews, John the Baptist effecting miracles, and us laboring to carry out the will of God every day in our lives, that is energeion. It is also the cosmic forces, the spirit of this world working in the sons of disobedience, the passion, the mystery of lawlessness at work in the present age, passions at work in our members of the old sin nature, temptations, death working in us to prevent us from carrying out the will of God in our lives. All those things, all those activities are energeia. But the definition of effective activity is the counsel of God of the ages, the plan of God of the ages in Ephesians. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. There's the divine decrees before the creation of time. That we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. That's boule, the counsel, the plan of God of the ages. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention. There again is the merciful, graceful plan of God, God's plan of the ages, which He purposed in Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of times, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth, in whom also we have obtained our inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, boule, again, plan of God of the age. So that repeated 3 times in 10 verses. The kind intention which He purposed, verb and noun, from the same root, who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Plan of the God of the ages is energeia. Everything that has occurred since the creation of time is divine effective activity, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. All things to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the definition of energeion. And what could be a better example of effective activity than God's plan of the ages? in our victory in the angelic conflict. So let's close with that. Father, we thank you for our many manifold blessings which we have received according to your plan in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We thank you for the doctrine which we have received tonight. We pray that we might be mindful of it so we might see the very wide door when it is illuminated by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we might be sensitive to his leading and your will in our lives, and that all things might be done to the glory of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.